Well, folks, you're in for a treat when you hear that tune. So it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. Thanks for joining us here. It's Monday night. That means that I, Jim Reed, your host, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter and Threads, have the best freaking job in the world. I get to hang out with my poker friends and talk about poker. We've got a guest tonight, the one and only Jesse Fullen. We're going to be talking to him shortly. I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. One of the reasons I have to thank our sponsors is because most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, and so the support from them makes a huge difference. Also, our premium membership, our premium members are the wind beneath our wings. So thank you to all of you for your $15 a month. It helps us out a lot. And the other group that I have to thank are the other members of the Wrecking Crew. You get used to hearing my voice on Monday nights because they give me the mic to host the podcast. But I am just one of the crew that it takes to make all the magic happen here at Rec Poker. And if you want to find out more about me and the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew, or you can just listen up because you're going to meet a few of them right here tonight, starting with producing co-host Chris Jones.
Actually, it's supposed to start with our good friend Ben Ensley.
Oh yeah,
you were supposed to let me dethrone Chris again. No, Jim, I was so excited. I was like, another week, Ben Ensley, and you go right to Chris Jones.
I'm rusty.
Since you said I'll just go quickly, I am Chris Jones. You can find me 5v5 on Threads or Twitter.
And I'm Ben Ensley. You can find me BJM96 over on Twitch, and all my other socials are there. I'm East Coast Bitter in the home game.
And I'm John Somsky, also known as Poker Geek MN everywhere.
And I'm Joe Coolers. You can find me at Joe Cool PhD, Cool with a K, or LB to 11 in the home game.
Man, I got away to the cottage for 2 days. I come back. I've completely forgotten how to host the show. This thing's going off the rails already. Jesse Fullen, save us, sir. So, Jesse, thanks for coming on the show tonight. You've been a big fun part of the poker world for the last few years. I just want to start by saying thanks for coming on the Rec Poker Podcast.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, guys. I've watched quite a few of these, and I've seen a lot of my friends jump in. And I'm like, ooh, so getting the invite was pretty cool. Everyone says, "Oh, are you a professional poker player?" I'm like, God, no, I'm a recreational. So I definitely support anything that says recreational and poker together. Those are two good words.
There you go. Well, we agree. There's no surprise there. I'm so pleased to finally have someone on the show who's seen the show before. This is amazing. Guys, we've made it. Folks, we've pivoted in the poker industry. This is it. We're officially there. It all happened today on episode 509 or 511 or whatever the heck this is.
So Jesse, at the benefits of selling being broadly accepted. So
well, it just goes. The best people out there are the ones that appreciate the rec in rec poker. There's no doubt about that. Jesse, talk to me a little bit about that. Regular listeners will know that I usually ask our guests at the beginning to kind of define their own place in the poker world. So you've been a reporter. You've been on. You've had your own podcast. You've done a lot of social media work. You love playing the game itself. If someone were to ask you sort of what's your role in the poker world today, how would you answer?
Good Lord. So I don't drive anymore. My last company, Poker News, paid for all my work Ubers. It was a very luxurious benefit with health insurance and salary. It was paid Ubers. But that meant I had to talk to someone every day, especially during the World Series of Poker. My office was not my couch. It was actually at the Horseshoe. And so very frequently people would ask me, "What do you do, sir? Oh, are you going to play poker? Are you going to see where I was going, the Horseshoe?" So immediately like, "Oh, so are you in a tournament?" And I would just lie. I would just lie. And so whenever anyone asks me what I do in poker, I don't try to answer the truth because it's too hard to explain. Like, wait, you get paid to write tweets? Why? Why doesn't someone else do that? You get like, I mean, like I've, good Lord, my job was so weird. I have a new job and it's weird too. I'm the weird guy in poker. I don't make sense. I'm not the head That's editor true. Like Chad Holloway. I'm not the Kev Math. I'm not the, you know, it's my, I don't even know, man. It's just, So yeah, I get paid. I get a paycheck and health insurance thanks to poker. So it makes me happy.
Well, that I keep saying you're in like the top 5% of poker people in the world. If you can actually get paid to do something in the world of poker that doesn't involve playing poker, buddy, you've made it, right? Dude, like, congratulations. Dude,
when people keep bragging about their Hen'em Mob scores, I'm like, listen, I'll show you my taxes. Let's add them up over the last 6 years. And mother, good Lord, man, I've got a decent number. My actual Hen'em Mob doesn't display that, sadly. It shows a little less than 20K over 15 years. Not that phenomenal. But hey, let's take my salaries together. And that's from poker still. I mean, it's just different. I just didn't buy in.
Right. And you absolutely, you know, capped your variance too, if you think about it like that.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Man,
and
anytime I had to go work an event and I knew I was leaving without having to buy in and making last place money, I was like, hey, I just cashed this one pretty darn good. There's always some good reporting days, I'll tell you. When you go report 5 days, and they pay you like 3K. It's like, hey, oh, not bad. That's last place money.
That's pretty good. Well, yeah. I know we're going to have some questions from the panelists here. If folks are listening live, if they're watching live on YouTube, it's 7:30 on Monday night. And if you're listening at home, why aren't you here live on YouTube on Monday night at 7:30? You can win a prize just for showing up. Feel free to type your questions into the chat for Jesse. And of course, we're going to do our raffle at the end of the episode to raise awareness about food insecurity, part of our food bank support drive. So get ready to start typing your questions in for Jesse in there. So Jesse, let's talk about that. So reporting obviously has been a big piece of the pie for you. Poker News, you know, they're the preeminent news organization in our industry. How long were you working with them and how did that come to be?
I was with Poker News for about 5 years, and that came to be because, oh man, it was a rough WSOP. But leading into, I think it was the 2018 World Series, leading into it, the person who was in charge of social media, won't say their name, but they quit about like maybe 3 days before the World Series about to start. Basically a big like middle finger salute to the powers that be, like saying, you know what, I'm out, see you later. And my Chad Holloway is one of my best friends. He reached out to me because I lived in Vegas and I was working for Jason Somerville at Run It Up. And he said, hey, you are the head of social over there. We just had a spot vacate and we are in desperate need. I don't even know how to post on Instagram. Said, Chad, I do. But he did not. And he's like, is there any chance you can fill in part time? So I went to my boss, Jason, and I was like, hey, listen, man. My job at the time was to attend these Reno events twice a year and to also post throughout the year, really showing love to our audience, our community, who would play these like low buy-in events, mixed game mostly, but between like 125 buy-in up to 1,000 was our main event. And we showed a lot of love to them. I was like, hey, what if I could do this for Poker News and like, you know, get to show love to Helmuth, Negreanu, those big boys, but also our guys. Whenever I saw them wearing our merch. And Jason's like, hell yeah, do it. And so that summer, I think I got to have two paychecks at the same time, which is pretty sick. Two paycheck life is pretty sick.
Nice.
And that fed into, it was COVID when everything shut down, of course, all events. And that meant Run It Up, closed its doors. We let everyone go. I say we, Jason let everybody go, including myself. And so I was in transition. And then Poker News was like, hey, you want to just come on full time? I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
So I turned that part time into a full time. And that came to an abrupt end about what, like 10 days ago?
Yeah, it feels like just yesterday. Yeah. So tell us about this new exciting opportunity that's in front of you.
Yeah, man. So Poker News was my opportunities at Poker News were strange. My manager told me, like, I don't know how to call your title. My title at the end was community manager. But I also was like, I was producing content with Norman Chad, the World Series.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, I love Norman so much. Norman and Lon, but Norman's like an uncle to me. Like good Lord. My kids know him. Like we've gone out to dinner. I'm at my whole family. We're staying at his house next month for like 3 nights.
He and I we're currently feuding over how to make a peanut butter and jam sandwich. Norm, if you're listening, you're wrong. You're wrong. Go to hell. Anyway, sorry, Jesse, you were saying.
Yeah, he's not always right. That's for damn sure.
No, he's nice. He's nice.
But I got to make all these cool, like, it was the 2022 WSOP, the first one at the Horseshoe, when some people at WSOP asked me to help facilitate and produce some videos. And this is stuff that Poker News didn't usually do. Like, there wasn't someone on our team. We have live reporters, we have photographers, we have, you know, videographers, but we don't have producers and stuff like that. So it was, but I still jumped in and made these cool things happen. And it led to a point when, like, where basically Poker Royalty and Brian Balspa over here, he was a buddy of mine, and he reached out and said, "Hey, the stuff you're doing at Poker News is great. Let's have you do that and more over here with us." And so it was a really cool, basically, honestly, I would talk to a lot of people in the industry and say, "I'm 41 years old and I don't want to make TikToks. So anything that says social media is probably not good for me in the next few years."
Right.
What do I do? Do I have to become a poker dealer? Do I have to become, like, if I want to work in poker, because I love poker, maybe I want to be a poker manager, but like, how do I get to that step when I come from where I am right now? And no one really had a good answer. I talked to Sean at Aria a lot about it.
Yep.
And it was like, you just have to find a way to make something happen. And basically, honestly, it was like only if Chad or someone left Poker News that I could like jump up to the next, climb the ladder a little bit more. And so this opportunity was just perfect. And I feel like it's like a lifesaver, not like a lifesaver because I was happy at Poker News, but more like for my career. Like now there's not a ceiling an inch above my head. It's more like, oh, look, you can grow and do more things maybe and help. So that's a little bit. I hope that answers.
Yeah. Yeah. We got there.
We zigzagged.
Yeah. So when you were first becoming friends with Jason and getting involved to run up, what was you obviously already had some interest in poker, and you're obviously a very eloquent person. So like having a writing side of it seemed to make a lot of sense. What was that like? How did you first, you know, take your first steps into poker as a profession?
My very first job in poker was for a company called National Pub Poker League. It was a free bar league back in 04, 05 in Houston, Texas. I had to dress like a poker dealer, like a Vegas dealer. I had to dress in a vest and everything. And I would run games in downtown Houston and in Pasadena. That was my first job, quote unquote, in poker. But honestly, I started watching and playing like in 04, 05 with my dad in those bar games. Those free bar games was what got me in. I think I ran deep enough to win entry into like their quarterly event where they had more people at a bigger bar. And I made some friends who would read poker books, which I'd never read one of, who would like play home games, a little $10 buy-in in someone's garage. And it just kind of snowballed and grew. And so when it came to Jason, though, my career path has been so weird. I was a youth pastor for 12 years. I worked in churches for way over a decade. I was a youth pastor. And then I went from youth pastor to, of course, the next normal transition, selling used cars.
Naturally. The evolution, course, right? the typical career.
Yeah. You learn how to sell the Bible. Now you can sell this Nissan over here. Absolutely. Just the normal transition.
Yeah. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. It's all the same. Yeah, I get it.
And so from used cars, where do you go? Oh, you go to selling, what was it? God, what the hell did I sell? I sold like phone packages to corporate offices. It was so horrible. I had to call people and their phones worked. Their phones worked. And I'm like, hey, you want another phone plan? No.
Right.
Like, okay, bye. It was the dumbest job. But someone there played poker too. And heard I played and was like, hey, have you ever heard of Jason Somerville? I was like, no. It's like, oh, it's free content on YouTube. You should watch it. This is so long ago. My God, I think my youngest, who's 11, must have been one. So, I mean,
you're very old, Jesse. Let's not, you know, I mean, listen, call a spade a spade. Yeah.
Your beard is black. My beard is gray.
There's some salt in the pepper. We're on the same path is what I'm saying, Jesse. We're traveling the same road together. Yeah. We're both very old.
obviously. So this guy got me to watch YouTube videos of Jason, and that led to Jason hosting a contest where if you made a painting or wrote a poem or wrote a song He basically had 10 packages to go to Reno for his very first event ever. And I decided to enter by shaving my beard to spell out R-I-U with nice. The hair on my face.
Yes.
And it won. It somehow won.
Of
so I won
it did.
flight, hotel, tournament entries, and meals for like 6 days. It was amazing.
Oh my God.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
Entries were like 150, you know, it wasn't a big buy-in, but it was great. And I cashed a PLO event for like 1K. I felt like a superhero. Can I curse?
Yeah.
Can I curse?
No, as long as you do, we can. If you're going to break the seal, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just said fucking. So, so you know, the seal has been broken, gentlemen.
God damn it.
Word. Right. So we're ready to go. Yeah, good times. But yeah, so honestly, my whole thing has always been networking. I try to tell everyone who I ever work with, Poker News, everywhere, like just always make friends with everyone you can. No matter what, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know where you're going to work tomorrow. Like if you're working at Poker News and you've got someone at Poker Org or something, you're like, oh, should I be nice to them? Absolutely. Because right. maybe in a year or two, you'll be working together at a new startup. Who knows? And so with Jason, you know, while I was there as an attendee and stuff, I just really tried to do everything I could to just be nice and be myself, genuine, authentic. And it led to, we just became friends. This is so dumb. I was on Pawn Stars. I got the approval to be on the TV show Pawn Stars in Vegas to try to sell my mom's Beatles bobblehead dolls. I've got the clip on my Twitter. It's pinned. But I invited Jason to come with me. I'm like, hey, Jason, you make shows on YouTube and you do production work and you're in Vegas. Do you want to come? And he's like, yes. And he told me, I watch it all the time. Like, oh, how funny. So I went on. I actually said, run it up in my, like, when they were asking me a question, like, hey, if you sell it, what are you going to do with the money? I'm like, I'm in Vegas. I'm going to run it up. And nice. Jason lost his mind. And it actually made it on air, too. They showed
That's
it.
Fantastic. You sneaky little devil. Good for you, Jesse. That's awesome.
He was so happy. It was so funny. But honestly, that led to just more like just trust and friendship and communication. And then I moved to Vegas. When I was here for Pawn Stars, I acquired a job interview at a church, youth pastor position. Just so I could tell my in-laws I was going to Vegas for a good reason.
Nice.
Because if I told them I was anything else, they are
smart.
Bible Belt. No, that's all I'll say. So I was like, hey, I've got this job interview at church. And I did, but I forced it to happen. I got that job offer. And so my family and I, we all moved here about 9 years ago to Vegas. And what's next? Okay. So I'm working at the church and Jason's selling t-shirts for the very first time in the hallway of the Rio. And he's got one guy working 7 days a week. And I'm like, that's so stupid. You can't do that to somebody. You have to go shopping, wash clothes. How about I work on Fridays? I'll take his Friday because I have Friday, Saturdays off at the church. So I work Sunday. So why don't I do that? And he said, yes. And so my very first job in Vegas in poker was selling t-shirts in the hallway at the Rio.
Awesome.
8 or 9 years ago. And that led, and again, this is just, it's just the slow grinding. You know, I see young guys today who get into poker stuff and just try to rush at a high right. ranking. I'm like, nah, dude, just take it slow. It's okay. You're in the school zone. Go 20. Then go up to 30. You'll get on the freeway at some point, but no need to go 80 right here on this little city street. Let's just take it slow. And that was honestly, that's my poker path to my poker career stuff was just take it slow, build a good reputation, get to know people. And yeah, so honestly, every other position I've had has just been through networking. So like I said, mm-hmm. Chad led to me working at Poker News part-time. And once they knew me, then I got the full-time offer. And then Brian Balsba, you know, who is the manager for Helmuth Negreanu here at Poker Royalty, they've been around for years and years. And back when Bluff Magazine was a thing, like I remember sure. they put Brian on the cover as like one of the most influential people in poker. And I'm like, and somehow we became friends talking about poker history and poker memorabilia we both collect. And that led to us just like hanging out a few times. And just it put me in the right position where I had no intention either. No intention of trying to work with him. You know, but in my mind, I'm asking Sean, where do I go for a new job? Never thinking like, and then it just worked out where Brian had a need because poker's growing. And I had basically been doing an accidental job interview for the last 2 years in our friendship. Mm-hmm. And boom, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you talk
long,
about
long
Chad
story. And I apologize. I tell long.
That's
stories.
Hey, that's what we're here for, Sorry, brother. No, that's okay. No, I love it. You talk about Chad, and you also mentioned Kevin Mathers. And like, I love talking about Kevin because I feel like if you're listening to this and you're a recreational poker player, be a Jesse, be a Kevin. Just start doing something you love in the poker world and don't piss anybody off, and just like be a good person. And that's most of it. Like if you've got a tongue in your head and a good heart, and you're doing something that you are good at, that's adding value to the poker world, you're going to get snapped up. You know, people are going to find a place for you because there's only so many good people in the world. Once you find them, you want to like get your hooks into them and keep them and do amazing stuff with them. So and you've got some fans here in the YouTube chat already. Philip Razor says, Jesse is such a good dude. Joseph Willis says, Jesse, because he's just excited that you're here. Phil's also a fan of the National Pub Poker. I know a few of our panelists are familiar with that as well.
Nice.
So what? It's an expression, Joe, if you're looking into the YouTube chat right now. It's a very popular expression, to have a tongue in your head. It means to have a brain, okay? Jesse, have you heard that before? Am I like breaking news with these Yankees?
I have never heard it before, and I just wasn't going to say anything because I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm not going to call you out on your shit and say, like, hey, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah, you're just pulling shit out of your ass, which is okay. We all do. It's a bluff. It's a bluff.
This happens like once a month.
I'm just going to say Canadians are supposed to back up other Canadians, but I've never even heard that.
You've
one
never
before,
heard that
so
one
no,
either?
I've never heard that one before either.
Oh, all right. Well, you all have to read some, you catch up on your British literature from like 100 or 200 years ago. That's where I get most of my social references from these days. It's slightly out of date, but yes. Okay.
The phrase, if you have a brain in your head.
Yeah.
If you have a brain in your head. But
yeah.
But not a tongue in your head. I mean,
well, I think that's the root.
Canadians think
phrase.
That the tongue is the source of all thought or something. I mean,
well,
this would explain a lot, Jim, about why you get the brain stuff all mixed up, because it's not your tongue.
Well, we haven't invented the written word yet, so the tongue does a lot of work up here in Canada.
Well, I was thinking the tongue would just say stuff, and then you would try to figure out what it meant later on, and that's where the brain came in. Yeah.
I've never done a podcast where we talk about tongues for so long. This is the first.
Yeah, well, we're setting the bar pretty high as far as tongue conversation on podcasts go.
Isn't there a specific rule about that in terms of podcasts? Or maybe there's an internet page for...
I think we've already tagged this one as explicit, so it's okay.
Perfect.
All right, so I'm going to steer us back on the tracks a little bit here, Jesse. Tell us a little bit. So you've been around the poker world for years. You've been kind of plugged in with various movers and shakers. You've seen a lot. You've seen organizations grow and close. What are some of the sort of some interesting stories or some interesting moments that you've witnessed from behind the curtain of a poker industry professional?
Oh man, gosh, that's a good question. I love it. Let's see. I'd say some of my favorite moments were probably, getting to go to Poker Go Studio. Tim Duckworth over there is a great guy, and he would let me come in because I live close by, and I could be there to film or do, you know, film or photograph or interview whoever I wanted to if it made sense with their time schedule. So I got to interview, Doyle Brunson. I got to interview Porus Daniel and Hellmuth. The coolest thing happened when I made Phil Ivey laugh. The coolest thing, because Phil Ivey is a very stoic person. And I once drove to this casino called Cachada. Yeah, I guess it's in Cachada, Louisiana.
About
a 3-hour drive from Houston. Yeah, right. I went there because it was the only place I'd ever won in poker before, so I kept going back there.
Nice. Nice. We do get sentimentally attached to those places, don't we?
Like, it must be my lucky place. I gotta go back there.
Yeah.
I go back one time, I'm walking across the casino property to the poker room, and I stop because there's a security guard not letting me go this direction. It's by the craps table where Phil Ivey is all by himself in the middle of nowhere, Louisiana. We're not even close to a freeway. We're like... I mean, it's between Houston and New Orleans, about halfway. There's just a road that's, you know, four lanes, two on each side. You go down for another hour north, and that's where this casino is. And Phil Ivey's there. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And he's just playing craps by himself. So, you know, this is something I see in the year 2005 or 6. So, of course, now that I work in that industry and I get a chance to be next to him, I say, what the hell were you doing in the middle of nowhere And all he can do is start laughing really hard and say, "Kushada!" That was his response. And then he told me there was some girl who took care of him, pumps and whatever. He's like, "Yeah, I love that place. All right, bye." I mean, so it was a good like 30 seconds. But he laughed so hard when I said the casino name. I guess who else would ever say the word Kushada?
Right.
He was a blast.
He's a tough guy to crack up. So good for you. Full points.
Yes, that was cool. I found Johnny Chan went to my high school, High School in Houston, Texas. Of course, different years. We're a little age different. But honestly, it was funny. Like he was very rigid and very like stoic, and he didn't, again, another person who didn't really open up. But once I said, "Hey, are you from Houston? What part?" And we opened it, and he's like, "Oh, for this." I'm like, "Oh, I went to Lamar." He's like, "Me too." Then he just was like a flower. It just was like, "Oh my gosh, do you remember this place?" And he just starts talking about restaurants and shit. It's like, oh man, it was so cool. So much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I've had some crazy opportunities like that. I've gotten to go to Doyle's house, which was amazing. Yeah, I got to go to Doyle's house. And so I will tell you guys one thing. In the near future, an audiobook will be released that is his voice recording of his autobiography. Before he passed away, of course, Brian and Poker Royalty were able to record this. And so I got to go there to film him, to take video of him recording this to help with Poker News. And so, that was an amazing opportunity to go be in his office and sit and chat with him a little bit. My favorite, though, holy shit, I got to go to Jack Binion's office and sit with him for like an hour and a half and just hear old stories. My God, man, here's a guy who in the industry, even industry people are like, "Oh, Jack Binion, there's just no way. We're too separate. I can't go talk to him."
Right.
And I'm the kind of guy who's just like, "Hey, can I interview you? I just don't care. I'll go ask." And right. He's like, "Sure." It was the right place, the right time. I was at a charity event that was named after him and he won it. And it was the very first time he'd ever won a poker tournament in his life.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing like December 2022, I think. Mm-hmm. No, was it 2021? Maybe it was 2021. Well, it was one of those Decembers, recent after COVID. One of those Decembers. He won this tournament and I was there to help cover a little bit for media. And I saw him at the commentary. I'm like, "I guess I can't leave." And I stayed till the end. He won and there was no one there to take a photo.
Winner's
photo or anything. So I set up the winner's photo. I set the chips. I did all this stuff and took pictures and was like, "Hey man, I'd love to interview you, of course, but not now. It's late. You're an old man. You got to go home and go to sleep. Is there any chance I could set up an interview later?" That was my technique. That was my move.
Smart.
And it led to me getting to go to his office and sit with him for like an hour and a half. And he'd just hear stories about the 70s, 80s, 90s. Oh my gosh. It was so sick. Oh, wow. That was, yeah. Yeah.
And
It's weird.
When's your tell all book coming out? Because that sounds like you've had some good tongues to have in your ear.
Man, I told him, I was like, "Man, what if we could write Jack Binion's story? What if we could write, what if we could make the history of poker and just like get all his stories down?" And like, I'd be happy to help write that. But there's already people doing stuff. I don't know all the details, but there's already plans and stuff down the road. So I'm a little too late. It's a good idea, but it's one that other people have already had. But the Jesse Fullen book. Yeah, we'll have to have some more fun shit here happen before before it's down for that one.
That sounds good. We're getting some comments in the YouTube chat. Rob Washam, Reckon Remember, says, "Usually the phrase is, you've got a tongue in your head, and it means you should speak up and defend yourself from some injustice you're suffering rather than act meek with the oppressor." I'm also getting some pushback from Kim and Phil about whether it is or is not in the parlance of our times. I did look it up while Jesse was babbling on about something. I wasn't really paying attention. On Quora here, it says, the phrase "have a tongue in one's head" means to have the ability to speak or express oneself fluently and effectively. So I'm rolling with it. I'm saying
who said that on Quora, right? Who posted that, Jim? Read out who posted that.
It wasn't me.
It was ChatGPT that came up with that information. So I'm not so sure.
Was it? Oh no.
Actual information.
Damn it. All right. Okay, well, steering us back onto the tracks once more. Jesse, what do what so you know, our audience is mostly recreational poker players. What do we not know, or what are some of the things that we think is the case about how the poker industry is run, but we're just totally wrong about? Or what are some of the kind of interesting things that we would just never know were the case behind the curtain there, as the sausage is made?
I think one of the ones that always pops into my head with this sort of thing is about poker reporting. It's one that we always get when it came to like poker news and the way I would try to like help people understand things. Like, one thing is like, okay, hey, this event's going to have reporting. And then people are like, so that means my chip count will be updated. I'm like, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It means there's one person for an event that has 300 or 400 people, and that person's going to try to tell a story, and your name will only be on there if you win, probably, or maybe if you make a final table and they're caught up. I just try to help people understand, like, you know, poker reporting is just, it's human. It's human people, human beings, typically young people who are learning a new craft. And I try to just have as much patience and grace for these people. And also, if you connect with them in a nice positive way, they'll remember you and they'll want to put you in the chip counts or get a hand history because you were so nice and cool compared to the people who come up who are, you know, poker pros who are like, hey, why am I not in the chip counts? Oh, that's the absolute worst. Because trust me, that guy's trying to remember what that turn card was ace of diamonds or hearts. I can't remember, it was red. And now they got someone yelling at them and they're like, shit, I can't remember if it was an ace or not. I mean, it's like I just try to say, like, just the poker reporting in all manners, social, video, you know, actually hand histories. It's a labor of love. Like, this is not typically the highest paid position. People who cash these events sometimes get paid more. You know, like I joke about the last place money, but it's a lot of hours for last place money. I don't get to go home when you make money. I have to stay for an extra 2 days. It's definitely something that it's something that anyone can do. Like, they're always looking for people to hire because the turnover is pretty big, especially with, you know, people going to work at other properties, other sites and things like that. Poker News is always looking for new people. So it's a definitely a suggestion of, if you're looking to get into the industry, consider Poker News. Reach out to Chad when he sends out a tweet about looking to hire people for the summer. But also, if you're not that kind of person, and you just want to play poker and you're at an event that has Poker News or Poker Org or anyone, just go say hi. Say hi and say, if you can, maybe above, it may not be most genuine thing, but thank you. Like, say thank you for doing this. And like, you know, just say, you know, it's cool that they're there. And even if that sort of, like, you know, kindness could be the best thing for them for that day. They could have had 5 or 6 bad comments or who knows what. And just someone saying, hi, hey, are you doing okay? Anything it's like a warm blanket in the winter. It's really good.
Yeah.
So that's been probably my biggest one is that just that knowledge.
Yeah. We've had a few reporters and content creators on the show this summer, specifically kind of putting a highlight on this industry niche here that we've got. And even going back over the years, we've had a lot of reporters and content creators on here. And that remains an undercurrent throughout this entire thing, which is, it's hard. Reporting on hands is hard, and it's a lot of details to get right. And, you know, they're trying their best. Be kind, folks, to your poker reporters, whatever organization they're with, because they're doing their best. And you say anyone could do it. I don't know. I mean, I think anyone could try and do it. And then a lot of them would just like flame out spectacularly in the first few days, because it's also a hell of a grind, right? Especially if you're down there for the series.
Yeah, but if you like poker and if you're hungry, if you want to try something new, people like Chad Holloway are great at training and like helping people to learn. There's templates, there's different ways to help you get really comfortable, at least to get started. And then it's just it's something that a lot of people, so this year, you know, in years past, we've had mostly younger people come work the World Series. This year, we had our reporters' average age was much higher. And it was just a different, I don't know what the full reason was, but we hired in a different way, or we looked in a different way, and we just brought a lot of people who are in their like 30s and 40s even to come out and do some reporting. Still quite a few younger people, but it was really cool to see people who I knew like had a bald spot. I'm like, hey, what the hell are you doing here? That's not a young. That's not young bald spot. That's a your hair was there, and it's not anymore. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Chris.
Nice.
Look at you right now.
Right now, soak it in.
That's right.
So Jesse, what you've done a lot of work, like looking at poker hands, reviewing tournament results, and that kind of thing. You've been steeped in poker. What are some of the sort of strategic mistakes that you see less experienced players make that happen enough frequently enough that you're like, oh no, they're not going to make that mistake, are they? Like, what are some of the things that our audience might sort of remind themselves not to do next time they're in a position to have someone reporting on their play?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I'll tell you the truth. I've only reported 3 events over my 5 years of Poker News. I was so bad, they wouldn't let me do it again. So my experience more is from playing and reporting that I can say, man, it's a bad response too.
Give us the goods.
It's always going to be the ace king is not as strong as you think. It's always going to be my advice is ace king is not as strong as you think it is. It's not a pair, so chill the hell out. Don't go ape shit because you've been waiting. Yeah, you're right. You have been waiting, but if you had folded, you could still have chips in front of you. so maybe don't jam as soon as you finally after hours get ace king and your quote unquote short stack. It's not the best advice. Like I said, it's not, but
it's a mistake that people make, I think. Now, what you said short stack with quotations. So I'm going to do a strategy follow-up question here. Sure. How short is a short stack and why is that important?
I mean, I feel like short stack starts at 20 bigs. Mm-hmm. But in reality for me, like I'm happy to continue. I'm especially depending on how close you are to the money. If we're on that bubble, then I say short stack could be as little as like 6 bigs, mm-hmm. because the reality is I'm just trying to make the money and then find a spot. But man, I've just seen people make those mistakes with ace king and in that bubble spot. Okay. This summer, one of my opportunities was to record the bubble burst and man alive, if it wasn't a kings versus queens situation with 2 big stacks where the guy with queens just felt like he was late position and for whatever reason, he put so many bigs in. It wasn't like a 15 big stack. He had like 50 bigs.
Mm-hmm.
And he got covered, got called by Kings who had 53 bigs.
Oh,
and it was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? We've got IC stack with, there was a guy who had literally 1.5 bigs and folded his big blind because he just wanted to wait. Well, even though he was going to be all in on the next hand, he just wanted to wait one more hand. I'm like, how do you fold this when this guy over here is jamming with Queens? So, and when you're on that bubble, man, just flat, just call. Don't put yourself in trouble. But I'm here to win. Yeah. But man, you can lose and it just doesn't make sense. It's just not worth it. That's another direction to go with that.
That's a good one. And it is something that we talk about in our premium training material a lot, is sort of knowing what stage of the tournament you're in. And when it's time to get aggressive and put them in, and when it's time to just kind of make the nuts or get out of the way for a little while. So that's great advice. Well, Jesse, I know you've got a helicopter coming to pick you up pretty soon, so we only have a few more minutes. I don't see any more questions in the YouTube chat, so I'll just give you one more from me, and we'll give folks another 15 seconds or so to add another question if they want one, and then we'll start doing our food bank raffle at the end. Looking back on a life well lived, you're in your 40s. You got a little salt and the pepper. You've bounced around from occupation to occupation. You seem to have found a place that you're really happy to be. What's one thing that you would do different?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. Let's see. One of my favorite stories to tell that I would definitely have done differently. My very first time winning a tournament was at this tournament, was at this poker room, I guess at Cascada. In around 2005, 2006, what happened was I worked at Starbucks and a guy came in and tipped me $100, tipped everyone who was working $100. And I played a $10 bind at my buddy's house and I won $100. I beat the other 9 people.
Mm.
So I had $200 in my bankroll. That was my entire bankroll. I didn't play a lot. And my buddy's like, hey, we're going to the Cascada playing this $200 buy-in. I'm like, hey, I got $200. Let's go. I go to this event after just reading my very first poker book, which was by Phil Gordon. It wasn't the Green Book. It was like my, it was the real deal. Poker, the real deal. Half stories, half strategy. I win. I somehow miraculously win. Whoa. No chops or anything. I win for $7,500.
Whoa.
They ask me, sir, would you like to tip the staff? So I'm like, of course. And my mom taught me how to tip. You tip 20%. Right. So I tipped $1,400 to the poker staff. And then I took my friends out to dinner at Chili's for $20 hamburgers. If even that. I had no clue for years until someone was like, what do I do? I'm like, wait. And so, I mean, at the same time, I would have spent that money wasted. Who cares? But man, that is one thing I wish I could go back and be like, I wish old Jesse could be behind me and put my hand on my shoulder and say,
yeah,
no, that's
no.
Too much. Yeah. Chill out. Tip well, yeah. Read the structure sheet. Read how much is held back. Don't, I'm not saying don't tip. That's no. But what the hell are you doing tipping that much of your fucking money? That was, the other thing I would say is talk at the table. Like there have been so many times where I'm quiet at the table. And my other favorite story I always like to tell people is a circuit event. 10 years ago, before I moved to Vegas, definitely for sure. I'm in Vegas playing a circuit event, playing at Hollywood or maybe Caesars. And I sit at a table and the guy next to me, my name is Jesse James Fullen. The guy next to me says, Jesse James wins the pot and scoops it in. And I had folded. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you know my name? And this was Jesse James Sylvia sitting to my direct left. 6 months before his main event. Ridiculousness. But we show each other our driver's license. We show each other these stories. And I mean, it just was like, we just started talking. We became friends. And somehow I outlasted him. It was a 2-day circuit event. I outlasted him by like 2 spots in the money. And I'm like, I'm the best Jesse James in poker. Yay. until he won $5 million or whatever the hell it was. Yeah. But again, that's the thing that would not have happened if I hadn't been talkative and he could have said that and I could have just put my headphones back on, back, whatever. But now, yeah. Because of that, he and I are still friends, of course, years later and stuff, but I've been to his house. I've been to ask his mom, what the fuck were you thinking when you named your son Jesse James? My parents are hippies. I know what they were doing. I know what they were smoking. I exactly know why that happened. The doctors even tried to stop them. I have a picture of me that says, it just says the room number because I was named on my third day of being alive because it was such a fucked up name. But my dad's name is James, so he had my middle name on lock, he says.
Yeah.
Fucking Jesse James. I only use it at karaoke now. That's my karaoke stage name.
I like it.
But yeah, but there you go. If I could go back and look after a life well lived, I would say talk more at the table, make friends, poker's a game. Relax. You paid money. Yes, there's money up top, but talk to people. Try to just, even if it's just people on your right and left and it doesn't work out, at least try because it's still, we're people, we're humans. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know. And trust me, that World Series, watching that, knowing Jesse made it so much better.
Yeah,
totally. And to see Greg Merson kick his ass was so much fun because I still have a chance at being the best Jesse James. I can win the main event. Fucking tell him. Who is the best? Me.
Yeah, that's right.
So that day he has it, though. He has it.
I know Joe's got one question, but I got to take a quick little follow-up there. From a guy whose name is James, whose dad's name is also James, I salute you, sir. And so in case folks are listening at home and they're not sure, what is the correct amount to tip? Please tell us. How do you – because a lot of recreational players, they're going to have one big score. They're not going to know what the rule – just like you, right? So what is an appropriate tip? Is it an absolute number? Is it a percentage of the winnings? How do you decide? And who do you have to tip? Who should you be tipping in the room?
So I'd say, from what I've heard, typically it's around 2-3% of what your earnings are. It's always easy if you don't make that. And that's if you're like the top prize. If you're like a min cash, typically it's like the loose bills. Like if you get 723, I'll throw the 23 their way. If it's like 783, I'll ask for a 50. I hate 50s, but I'll ask and give a 33 their way. So I'm usually just kind of loose like that. At the end of the day, these are people who need that money. Like, I mean, every time I go to Starbucks and I see that tip jar, like I know how important those tips are because I was that guy. Mm-hmm. And so these dealers, it's a very usually a thankless job, and those tips do add up and really help them out. So I typically say try to go around 2-3%, but do tip because even though it's held with help a little bit, this is not money that you expected, right? And this is definitely money that is, it can mean a lot. Even that little bit can help them quite a bit. So I always say, try to tip. Rex pros too, and trust me, you'll keep winning. You will win more. There's more tournaments. There's more poker to be played. And whatever you're losing here by tipping that, you'll make up for it the next time you play. And when that dealer comes around and remembers you, they'll make sure you get aces at least four times.
At Big least perk. Four. Huge
yeah,
perk.
At least four. Yeah.
Huge perk.
They may not win, but you'll get them. So there you go.
Joe, you had unmuted there earlier and I cut you off. Do you have a final question for Jesse before his helicopter arrives?
Well, I'm just curious as to whether or not people adjust to you differently when you tell them you're Jesse James or when you dress up as King Henry VIII. Which one needs better
improvement? Oh man, my favorite costume. Those don't matter as much. This one time in Reno, I dressed as Batman for a tag team event. It was on Halloween Day, and I told my partner, "You also have to dress as Batman, and we have to speak in Batman voice for any actions where we're vocal." So I fold, I raise. That was our whole time, and I'll tell you, we definitely made a change. People reacted differently and maybe called when they shouldn't have because of the dumbass bullshit we were playing with. But yeah, I mean, again, have fun. It's a fun game. It's cards. It's yeah, you may lose, but still, who gives a shit? It's poker. It's fun, and it's going to be there again tomorrow. So have fun, dress up, do bullshit, and yeah, the Jesse James and the King Henry were good and fun, but Batman is my fucking,
that's awesome.
That's my crown. That's my crown in my head. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, Jesse, tell us what you're looking forward to most at Poker Royalty and let us know where our listeners can find you if they want to reach out and say hi and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. That's mostly my main place, at Jesse Fullen, my first and last name. I got there first. There are three other Jesse Fullens. Ha ha! Fuck you guys.
Eat it.
I'm the first one.
Eat it.
I got it.
Nice. Good for you. No one can take that away. Except for Elon. Apparently, Elon can't just take it away from you and you get nothing. But anyway, congratulations for
that. That's right. Besides that, what's coming up at Poker Royalty? Unfortunately, this is one time where I can't say, but I can tell you that cool shit. And there's going to be a press release. I think I get to publish late this week, early next week. That you're going to like when you see a press release, just know, oh, Jesse wrote that. And when you read it, you're like, oh, that's kind of fun. I got to do that. I got to help with that.
Nice.
I wish I could say it, but no. I like my job too much to get fired already. So
yeah.
just know cool shit. If I were a wreck and I heard about this, I'd be like, oh, that's sick. So just know that's sick is coming soon.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jesse. We'll make sure to put the links to your Twitter handle and to the Poker Royalty in our show notes as well. So if folks want to say hi, they can click that. Thank you again for your stories and your time. And
One last thing. My episode of Wheel of Fortune airs September 20th. Just happen to turn on CBS or whatever your station is on September 20th and watch me lose on Wheel of Fortune.
I won't say
if I win or lose, but watch me lose. That'll be great.
All right. And if you're ever out in the world with Jesse, buy the guy a vowel and let him know that you had a
and
fun.
Beer too. And beer. Yeah. And a beer. IPA, absolutely. All right, guys. I got to take off. It was wonderful.
Thanks again, Jesse. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck with everything. Sounds great.
Bye, guys.
All right. Well, that is it. Jesse Fullen, we had him on the show. We had planned to have him a little earlier in the summer, but he wanted to wait until he was more firmly ensconced at Poker Royalty. So I'm excited for him to be taking a new journey there. Why don't we talk about some recent home game results, and then we'll tease some upcoming events, give away a prize, and roll on out of here. So actually, I guess I'll pre-interrupt John because it's rude to interrupt. I'm learning over the years. And I will say, if you're watching this on YouTube, we are doing our deep dive recording a little later on tonight with Chris Jones. So if you're a premium member, there might still be some seats available in that. You can check the forums at rec.poker to see if there's room for you to sign up. And if you're still listening, I'm going to be heading to Run Good Baltimore with Kim Kilroy and Stewie Carriage and a couple other fun folks. I think if you are in the Baltimore area between September 4th and 8th, send me an email, jim@rec.poker. Let's get together and play some cash or jump into the tournament scene there. Or maybe we could just grab a pint of something fun. Baltimore, September 4th through 8th. Don't miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. John, please continue into an uninterrupted plateau of home game results. It's available just for you.
All right. Well, I'll start off by reminding everyone that we are having a streamlined schedule starting in September. So there will be no home games on Thursday nights or Friday nights or Saturday nights. We will still have the international series Saturday mornings, and the mixed practice game will be moving to the Wednesday nights that are not our championship series. So the third, fourth, and potentially fifth Wednesdays of the month. So with that said, I'm really Mad Guy got his sixth nightly victory for the year.
Roll. Nice work.
Evil Roy CA, David Westerveld, got his sixth nightly victory for the year.
Cannot be stopped.
That is his 60th victory.
Oh, that on Tuesday? Was that on Tuesday night by any chance? Was that the, because we had a hell of a OPA. Falling. Was that on the 22nd, John?
Yes, it was.
So we have that on tape. We have Evil Roy's 60th victory because we were in the OPA having a fantastic time with our group. And folks, if you're a premium member, come join us on Tuesday nights for the online play and hang the OPA. We just hang out, talk poker, talk life. It's a social time, and we kind of rail each other while we're playing the nightly home game. Dave obviously won the last longer, and so we were sharing a screen and watching his assault on the rest of the members of the final table, and we got to watch him get all the way down to heads up and win the damn thing. So congratulations to you, Dave. That was spectacular, and I'm so glad that we all got to enjoy that with you. 60. Wow. Okay. Thanks, John. Sorry. One interruption.
I'm sure it won't be the only one. Then Jasper Jr., Pat Barry, got his second nightly victory for the year. Big Chiss, Scott Chisler, got his first nightly victory for the year, actually his first lifetime victory for Rec Poker.
Mm.
And then we have East Coast Bitter, Ben Enslow, got his third nightly victory for the year,
Which
brings up to a lifetime 28 victories, which means he's almost half as good as Evil Roy.
I had a hard time wrapping my brain around that stat too. I was like, do I really have 28 wins? I was like, there's no way. That's not right. I thought I had like 6 wins.
That's amazing. 28 lifetime. That's really impressive, Ben. Yeah.
That means I'm almost 1/7 as good as Ben. So it worked out.
I'm a little over a third as good as Ben. I think I'm barely in the double digits, just to say, like, very impressive, sir. Nice to know.
Then we have GF Hawk, Eric Rommel.
Eric
got his eighth nightly victory for the year. And to continue the trend, that's his 26th lifetime victory.
Amazing.
Jay Settum, Jeff S., got his first daily mixed victory for the year. Pet Vet 33, Kim Kilroy, got her third international victory for the year. 46 lifetime victories.
46. Man, she really is knocking on the door, isn't she? Oh, wow.
She is. And then we have Evil Roy CA, David Westerveld, got his fifth international victory for the year. That one brings him to 61 lifetime victories.
Are we going to have to like rename the award or something? Like, this is getting out of hand. Can someone get over to Dave's place on Saturdays and like take him out for a walk in the morning or in the early afternoon and prevent him? Because this is a sound strategy, folks. The morning and afternoon games on Saturdays do have a smaller player pool, and you know Ben Enslow, he knows what I'm talking about. He's in there every week. So just saying, if you jump in there, your odds of winning a pin are a little higher than playing on these other nights. So. Just saying, maybe there's a chance. And just distract the heck out of Dave. We got to, like, I don't know. I'm going to start calling him and telling him there's some family emergency he needs to go take care of on Saturdays. I don't know what. We got to stop this guy. He can't be beat.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is there are a number of players who are trying to close the gap that Dave has in the victory. Pet Vet was one of those players. And here, Keck Geek 65, Jacob Kiki, won his a daily LPP event this year, bringing him to 45 lifetime victories.
Amazing.
So there are several people knocking on the door to get the Silver Lifetime Achievement Award. And Jacob, you can contact info@rec.poker for your free month at Learn Pro Poker.
That's right. You're going to love it, Jacob. Not that you've got enough, not that you've got a lot of time for studying these days. I know you're busy, but congratulations. If you win that Sunday home game, you get a free month at Learn Pro Poker. And it's just one of the perks of joining our home game club. So,
and yeah, just please. One last thing. I want everyone to remember that Saturday, September 16th, will be at 1 p.m. Central Time, the only time zone that matters, will be the Heads Up event. And the winner of that event will get an automatic entry into Marek Madness.
Yeah, it's going to be in March, or Marek, as we like to call it. It's our Heads Up bracket tournament. And it's a lot of fun. And winning these quarterly qualifiers is one of your ways in. So I hope you get a chance to join us on September 16th, promptly at 1 o'clock Central Time. Don't late reg. Late reg will not be allowed for this tournament because it's a heads up ladder. So they lock you all in at the first time there.
Yeah, I'm hungry for that one. I've got cooler than that one a few times now.
Oh, no, really?
I've been dying to run deep in that. So look out, I'll be in the mix for sure. Maybe we'll have a little stream or something for that.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, that'd be fun. Nice. Awesome. And let's talk just a little bit about the changes to the home game club that are coming up. So I'm sure this is going to ruffle some feathers. But, you know, we say at the top of the show every week that this is a largely volunteer organization. Most of what we do here is free. The home game clubs are free. They've always been free. We want to make them always free. And, you know, we're volunteers. We only have so much time to work on this kind of stuff. And John has been doing this for many years. And we were kind of at a point where we had to choose between reducing the number of home game clubs that we had to run every week or charging something for people to play in them. And this has been something that we've been weighing back and forth for months. This was not a quick or easy decision. At the end of the day, we decided that what was most important was to keep it free and available to the poker community. That's always, you know, Rec Poker's always going to be about having this free resource for the poker world, whether it's the forums, Discord, the home game club, you know, the website, the podcast. Is what we love, but we just needed to limit the amount of resources that we were spending on the free home game club, and we chose to just have fewer home games instead of charging people to play in them. So it's just a reality. Maybe if we get, you know, another 100 premium members between now and the end of the year, and we get a little more operational budget and bandwidth, we could start having more home games. Maybe if some great poker organization wants to come in and sponsor the home game club, then we could start having more home games again. You know, or if we hear from 100 members that they all think this new idea stinks and they were only ever playing on Thursday and Friday and Saturday nights and we've ruined their lives, you know, we're all soft-hearted folks here too. So send your feedback in to info@rec.poker. And let us know what we can do better. But we are going to try at least between now and the end of the year. You've still got home games on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night is also going to be the practice home game, mixed game. There's also the Saturday morning international series, the Saturday afternoon international series, as well as the monthly tournament of champions and all the monthly no limit hold'em mixed game and end of year championship matches. So you're still averaging about 6 to 7 home games a week. And I, like I said, I know it's going to ruffle some feathers and I apologize that we can't just have all the home games all the time, but we want to be here for a long time. We want this to be a sustainable organization that continues to be a free resource to the poker world for a long time. And we just had to make this little change for now. So I hope people understand that. Let me see. What else should we be talking about here? So, yeah, we talked about the Run Good Run Good road trip heading to Baltimore from September. They're there from September 5th to 10th. The main event stuff is happening on the 9th and 10th and that kind of thing. That's going to be a lot of fun. Kim and Stewie and I are only in town from the 4th to the 8th. So come and hang out with us. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also looking at getting down to Cleveland. There's going to be a fantastic Run Good event in Cleveland in the first week of November. And of course, the big one that I'm really excited about is Council Bluffs, Iowa. So Run Good heads down to Council Bluffs once or twice a year. We've had a lot of fun there in the past. This is going to be a really fun event. You're listening to the show. It's November 14th through 19th. There's going to be prizes, events, training sessions, social activities, obviously lots of opportunities to hang out with different Wrecking Crew members and different Wreck Poker members. So circle that one in your calendars, folks. Council Bluffs, Iowa, November 14th through 19th. That one's going to be a great, great time. What else is on folks' minds coming up here, people? We got the usual maelstrom of events in each and every week coming up, whether it's book studies or Eric's Peel, Andrew's Learning with Partners program, Joe's Poker PsyOps, Kim's Hand History Review, Keith Monkey Systems, Off Table Tools, my own Poker Tracker 4 review, Ben's Twitch streams, Taylor's Wednesday night streams with Taylor. I'm going to miss a couple, but there's a lot of fun stuff going on over here. And I'd encourage you to come give it a try. If you want to use the code RECPOKER, you can get a premium membership for only $5, which I think is a bargain. But even if you don't, like I say, we like being a free organization. Come check out the forums, the YouTube channel. I'm glad if you're enjoying the podcast, please like and give us a rating. Leave a nice comment to tell other folks how much fun the Wreck Poker podcast is. And hopefully we can keep getting great guests like Jesse and doing this for a long, long time. We're over 500 episodes now. I want to see what it looks like at 1,000. I know there'll be a little more salt in the pepper. I'll be more in the Jesse Fullen beard club at that point. He's rocking it, though, and he looks good. No, Chris, like, yeah, very dignified, sir. Very dignified. All right, well, I think we should probably do our roll. Chris and not Phil, are we going to do a Daiso cam? Are we going to do a nerdy? Chris, you unmuted first.
I think let's do the nerdy roll digital not Phil's thing, because my phone is actually dead.
Oh, no. Okay. So Joe Coolis is going to load up his Dungeons & Dragons online platform in full nerddom. And we're here sharing the screen. So everyone, I guess people have to freaking type the words food bank into the chat, don't they? So, all right, well, we can't leave just yet. We have to let people type the words food bank into the chat, starting with Phil. I see Eric. Well, get in there, folks. I want to give some prizes away.
While they're doing that, so not Phil, can you please describe what it is that we're viewing on the screen here?
What is going on here?
I was a little bored at the beginning of the particular podcast as Jim was blathering on, and so I decided I would create a drow warrior attacking this monstrosity here, just for you, Chris, because I know how much you love the nerddom as it comes in.
does this particular monstrosity have a name?
I don't remember. I can find out if you want.
Oh, what? No. That is so disappointing.
Something like Iraq something or other.
Yeah, Arachnid, spider, or something,
yeah,
right?
Because it does look fearsome. It does look fearsome. While Joe's looking around, I want to shout out some folks in the chat here, too. Luke, thanks for your comment. I'd like to know. The APL Millions main event just finished yesterday. First place took down a little over $500,000. And yeah, where was the Wrecking Crew there to tell that guy how to tip? Good question, Luke. We really dropped the ball on that one. Yeah, Kim's saying, this is my Poker Friends Forever audition trip. That's so cute. But Kim and Stu and Elizabeth travel all over the world. They're Poker Friends Forever. They have this little group. I'm kind of subbing in for Elizabeth on this trip to Baltimore. So I hope I don't snore too loud or, you know, say the wrong thing in the car or something like that, because I feel like I'm on my audition. And Phil says, yeah, let's get Jim to be a bounty in the Run Good bounty event. I agree, Phil. Phil says he's been tweeting at Run Good Series and at Tana Karn about making Jim a bounty, an ambassador for there. So I'd say, everyone, if you're still listening, send that tweet at Tana is just Tana Karn and say, hey, let's make Jim a bounty in your bounty tournament. Let's go. Let's put Rec Poker on the map here, folks. All right. So
just for Chris's edification, because I know he likes to be very precise, the creature is called a Drider, D-R-I-D-E-R, Drider.
Oh, is that a combination of dragon and spider?
Oh. No, it's a drow creature, so it's in the dark places.
Oh.
Okay,
oh,
so it's a drow is a
dark elf. If you want, I can go and talk for about a half hour in terms of what this character class is and how it represents it, but you've been told that I'm not quite good enough at the game, and you would prefer to do that. So.
All right, well then let's steer this back on the tracks. I see five food banks counting John. Let's not count John. Although John, you could have just typed the word food bank without typing type food bank, and I think you still would have been an eligible winner. But Phil, Eric, Luke, and Joseph, those are the order that I see them in. Is that what you see as well, Mr. Coolis?
I can't see the screen because I've got...
Oh, that's okay.
That is what I see.
That's what you see, Chris? Yeah. You're going to jump in there? All right. So
excited, and are we just subtracting the roll of one?
I think we've got four, so you could actually do the four sided again. Yeah, and then we'll see. We need more people here in the YouTube chat. It's a one. That means it's my frenemy Philip Razor who gets to win it. So Phil, you know the deal. Send that email, please. info@rec.poker. I know you're a recent winner. And we're going to try and add a little variety to some of the prizes. So I think you've already won a month at Learn Pro Poker. This will be a fun other prize that you can use in concert with that somehow. Speaking of Phil and Joe, I was talking to my mom, Martha, the other day, who's doing a lot better. And we got to the bottom of this whole thing. So Phil is the one that she's enamored with because of his wit. She just thinks he's a funny guy, and she looks forward to having him in the chat. But she just thought that he was one of the people on the screen, and the one that she thought he was Joe. So, Joe, she does think you're terribly handsome, but her crush on Phil was really more related to what's between the ears. And that's... Yeah, the tongue. See? Exactly. Full circle. Full circle. Well, folks, we're not going to hit a better segue than that. So I got to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. I got to thank everyone in the YouTube chat for being really fun today. That was an awesome one. Jesse Fullen, obviously. John, Joe, Chris, and Ben. And you, the listeners. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks for tuning in for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. And we'll see you again real soon.
And we are clear because the music isn't playing.
Oh, no!